Hi guys, we hope you're enjoying the show you're listening to now. We have a show that we think you might like. I'm Alan.
I'm the Grizz.
And we present a show called Rise of the Robots,
where we cover such robot combat shows as
Robot Wars,
BattleBots,
King of Bots,
and BuggleBots,
where we recap these shows and review them, and document the rise of the robots.
You can find us on your podcast app of choice or at audioboom.com. Just search for Rise of the Robots.
Hello, I'm Alan.
I'm Rebecca.
And welcome to the DCAU podcast. This week we are covering Batman Unlimited, Mechs vs. Mutants.
I'm glad you were in charge of the title, because I tried telling someone what I was watching. I was like, I don't know, something about monsters and mechs. I don't know. I can't remember. I can never remember the titles. They're so long.
And, well, this film was... I don't know if we're... Not disagree. I think we're going to have very different views on this film. I don't know why.
Interesting.
I didn't realise that I needed a Batman kaiju movie.
I actually quite enjoyed it until there were certain points that annoyed me and just got to me and kept like jarring me out of it, and I'd be like, oh, come on. And then I might as well say, well, at least one of them was like, I don't understand how old Damien is supposed to be in it and why he's so white. But aside from that, it is very clearly a film made to chuck out as many toys as you can.
Absolutely.
And, but actually, in the at least the first half of it is pretty fun film. Yeah. And I think I just started to tire about it towards the end. So I don't think we'll have that different views of it.
I think it's 20 minutes too long.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, what is it, an hour 15 again?
An hour and 12 minutes.
Yeah, I think I agree. I think it could have, like, chugged along a lot faster, but it just... And some of the extensions just were what made me start questioning it and laughing about, oh, so this transforms now. But overall, I think half an hour in, I was like, you know what, I'm actually quite enjoying it.
Yeah, absolutely. So... The opening of the film, the cold open to a film, is a kaiju versus Jaeger battle.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean...
Or mecha, just, you know.
Oh, no, they are definitely invoking Pacific Rim here. There's actually one scene, it's when the mechas are introduced after the title credits. The music is literally like one of those... trailer music versions of the Pacific Rim theme.
But they don't have two people working them, right?
I suppose there's that.
But to me they were just generic mecha, but that still mm-hmm. works.
But yeah, so we then cut back. Now there's absolutely no explanation. All we know is there is someone that looks like Godzilla who's breathing ice,
mm-hmm.
and Batman is fighting them with a mech or a Jaeger or a...
Whichever, yeah.
Whatever you want to call it. And we then cut to 2 weeks earlier, and we're introduced, because for some reason Red Robin's not in this film, probably to sell toys of Robin. This version of Robin is Damian Wayne.
Yeah, but... Like, I'm much older than you've seen him in almost any other depiction.
It's weird because, one, yes, he's a lot older. Two, he is completely different from any version of Damien I've seen. He has no self-confidence.
He's not Damien's personality, and he's very white as well. So it's kind of like, it may as well be Tim, but it's Damien.
And literally, his entire plot is... Everything's my fault.
Yeah, and like, and you know, and he is very insecure, isn't he? Like, keeps getting things wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So,
on the plus side, it does mean that we have, I think, particularly now. Full disclaimer: yesterday I was editing the Killing Joke episode that came out a month ago from this, and after we said, oh, this is the absolute, this Batman is the absolute worst in terms of support and how he treats his partners.
Yeah, yeah, he's
this
bad.
Batman is amazing.
Yeah, he is. He's
so much nicer.
I know, but he still won't let him drive the car originally. So, yeah.
I mean, to be fair, it's still the thing, I think.
So when we watched the first Damien film, like, he steals the car, right?
Absolutely.
When he's not, yeah. So like, that's the how. Like, I hope you appreciate that I remember these things. I don't remember the title of them, but like, so it shows just how different characterization we've got. Although, you know, like, Dick Grayson is very Nightwing is very Nightwing in this, so that's cute.
Really, because I found him really irritating.
No, he's always irritating. I mean, he's irritating. Everyone was kind of irritating, but yeah, no, I thought it was all right.
I just don't like that he constantly dinges Flash.
Oh, Flash was so annoying. Oh my god. Like, I don't know how anyone can like, I don't understand why, like, when I've read, I know everyone jokes about Barry and whatever and, you know, not being as good as everyone thinks and everyone likes Wally more and whatever, but as someone who's not read very much Flash, I have never seen him as annoying as he is in some of these animated things. When I've read it, I know they're trying to get that sort of kinetic energy across, but I just want to slap him a lot of the time. So
I'll be honest,
that's why I didn't notice if Nightwing was rude to him, because I was like, go for it.
My experience with Flash is the CW TV series. The first two series, after a while, I got fed up because he's the dumbest man alive. And Flashpoint and Justice League Unlimited. So I've not really read, you know, the only Flash comic book I've read is Flashpoint.
Yeah, I just find a lot of the cartoon ones, because they're really hyping up the idea that he's like, I guess to show that he's this speedster, they make him like have like full of this kind of nervous energy and cracking silly jokes and it's fine, and obviously, once again, these things are not aimed at someone my age.
Yep.
So, you know, other people might find it charming or funny. I guess, I don't find it annoying as in, oh my god, I hate him. I find it annoying as that's probably why I didn't notice if Nightwing was being rude to him, because I was like, yeah, I probably would be as well.
So, we cut to Penguin, who's been in exile since the first Batman Unlimited film, and I do like that these films actually do have a continuity. I think there's also like a TV series or a YouTube series with these characters as
right.
well. Yeah, I do like that there is actually like a, there's not an overarching plot, but they don't ignore things that happened in previous films.
That's fair. I didn't really remember the previous one, so. I like that Penguin had his best friend was a penguin.
Yes, his best friend is the MVP of the film, Buzz.
Pretty much. Although, I don't know, Alan, like, are you feeling okay that you haven't proclaimed it Alfred for once?
Because Alfred's only in it for like 2 minutes, and all he does is give people tea.
But it's really funny because, so that's the only point at the film where Damien feels a little bit more Damien, because he's calling him Pennyworth the whole time, while Batman, our dear sweet Batman in this, is calling him Alfred, and you're like, oh my god, like, slap your child and like tell him to call, like, tell him not to address him like, you know,
you will call him by his name, Damien.
But like, then, you know, like when Damien does it in the comics, it's when he first arrives. But I don't know if he does it still, but like, it just struck me that the two of them in this same scene called him the two different names.
Yeah. So, Penguin is living with Mr. Freeze, who is played in this film by Oded Fehr.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, he's appeared in, I know he's done some voice work. I think he's played Dr. Fate in a few different things.
That makes sense, yeah.
I just find it funny that he plays Carlos Oliveira when Carlos Oliveira is very much not from Israel. But this version of Mr. Freeze is a bit strange.
Yeah, I didn't. He didn't seem very recognisable to me, but I quite liked him. So.
They're still doing the slightly sympathetic thing. The issue is, without bringing Nora into it, and I can see why they're not bringing Nora into it. In fact, it's a toy commercial. But without Nora, he just seems a bit.
Yeah, strange. I mean, like it's kind of better when you've got them together.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Freeze has developed a device that can turn creatures into giant monsters.
Yeah, he's got the kaiju machine.
He's got a kaiju machine, which somehow turns into a kaiju formula, and the machine also backs up as a laser repair
of
machine.
Of course it does, because that's how you sell toys.
Yeah.
They need to be multifunctional.
So, Freeze sends his monster, which is a giant insect, to attack a new oil drill base that's came up that does some damage and then easily gets defeated.
Yeah.
And Penguin proposes, why don't we go to Gotham and use this machine for more powerful aims?
Yeah, because you'd go straight to Gotham, the most over-policed, over-Batmaned. But okay, that's fine.
I mean,
they're not super genius villains.
Yeah, one, that, and two, the other thing you might say is, well, where else are you going to find such excellent test subjects outside maybe Bell Rev?
Yeah, perhaps.
So, we then have an event with Batman and Robin wearing their costumes.
Yep. Oh, that's cute. Yeah, that's cute.
Yes, because Batman and Robin are not costumes, they're work uniforms.
Yes. But they're suits, they're costumes.
Yeah.
And we get Oliver, so.
Oliver Queen, and we get to hear Bruce Wayne laugh.
I know, that's hilarious. Like, oh my god, I've never heard him laugh, says Damien.
Weird, because this is the friendly Batman.
Yeah, I'm sure he laughs all the time with Alfred.
They also mentioned that Batman went to a theme park planet.
It's crazy. Just in case they want to sell you theme park planets at some point. I thought Oliver was quite good.
Oliver was quite good. It's weird. As Oliver, yes, he was really good. I found his character, because the gag seems to be with him, he's very impulsive.
Yeah.
To a dangerous extent.
It was almost like nobody else really wanted him around, but he was just turn up, so yeah.
What do you mean I'm just knock-off Batman? Shut up.
And he's not. I mean, like, clearly.
Oh, he's not. Absolutely not, but.
Doesn't go around growling at people for a start.
Well, not in this version.
Not in this one.
So they have. So we reintroduce Kirk Langstrom. He's back.
Yeah.
And they've made a mining mech that can melt rock, which I thought, oh, okay, that's set. These films are not subtle. This must be setting something up.
Yeah.
All it seems to be setting up is, we can build giant mechs.
Yeah, because if you're going to have kaiju, you need giant mechs.
But why not have a kaiju that can make lava?
Which would be awesome.
But apparently not. No, we just the fact that mechs exist is all that we get out of this scene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Meanwhile, Freeze and Penguin are staging a breakout at Arkham Asylum, which, like everything else in this world, is super teched up. And it's It's like watching Batman Beyond. It's really weird.
Yeah. It is weird. Strange. Yeah. There was a few bits that like that I was like, what? And then just like, take them on board.
It's a bit like how everyone in Arkham is in their suits.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we walk past Hush, Mad Hatter, Cheetah, and Two-Face. They then break out Bane, which also, why does Bane have access to Venom in his cell?
Yeah, true. But I also could understand him, which seemed very un-Bane-like for me.
They also break out Chemo, who is normally a Machine Men villain, I believe.
I've never heard of Cabo.
He's meant... I think the idea... I ended up doing a bit of research. Cabo is basically a manufactured being that is incredibly stupid.
Oh, great.
They also break out Killer Croc, who doesn't like Bane.
No, not at all.
And it turned out Killer Croc actually dobbed in Bane to get him arrested.
So this is going to get the team up's going great.
Yeah, the team up's going great already. They also break out Clayface, and Joker wants to be broken out, and Penguin refuses. Because that's going to have no consequences.
Yeah, none at all.
So we then get a fight breaking out between the villains and Batman, Robin and Arrow. Damian blames himself because the villains get away because he mistook... He thought that it was Jim Gordon instead of Clayface. I mean, that had absolutely no effect on the actual fight, but okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I do like the way that Freeze organizes the escape. He creates an ice dome, freezes the floor, and then Bane smashes through it. That's actually clever.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
The reason that these particular villains were broken out is... because they wanted to link up Bane, Kemo, and Clayface to a machine, extracting what later turns out to be various compounds within their blood that are powerful. Mm-hmm. Robin's actually the person that figures this out.
Yeah, showing he's not an idiot, but also it's another sort of Tim thing. Is very good at that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So.
You get the impression this was written as Red Robin,
mm-hmm.
and then they went, no, we want to sell Robin toys.
Yeah, which is weird.
Yeah. So, the elements from the three villains create a purple formula that has lightning crackling within it, because that looks safe. And they inject this purple formula into Killer Croc, where it turns him into Godzilla.
Yes, which is awesome.
So, Killer Croc starts attacking the city. Later on, so does an enlarged Kemo as well. And both of them start freezing the city. Flash arrives at this point. The Batmobile gets thrown into the air and turns into a plane.
Yeah. Yeah, and you got a comment on, like, Damien earlier, like, being upset that the Batmobile doesn't transform.
Mm-hmm.
Foreshadowing.
Meanwhile, Penguin starts turning against Mr. Freeze. He gets Buzz to fill up a vial full of the transforming juice.
It's hard to talk about this.
I love the fact that, but in many ways, Buzz is the most intelligent character in the villain team, because Mr. Freeze gets tricked so easily for a genius.
Yeah, he's definitely not much of a genius in this one.
Yeah. So, Arrow and Nightwing start saving civilians, because Nightwing just randomly appears, because we need him to be in the film.
I'm never going to say no to Nightwing.
I know you're not, but it's just like, and I, Nightwing, am also here.
Yeah, but Damien has mentioned him earlier. I think earlier they do discuss, why don't you ask, like, Nightwing, and he's like, oh, really, Nightwing? It's quite funny.
Yeah.
I
think as well, that's one of the other reasons, because, look, Damien basically goes along the lines of, well, Dick's not very, isn't very nice to me or something.
Like, yeah, something, he says something like that.
Yeah. So, God Croczilla attacks the GPD, And it says GPD on the building, but he calls it the GCPD. And also, you can tell that this particular police force is way overfunded because they have tanks.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of them as well.
A lot of tanks. And they don't defeat him with the tanks, they defeat him with the bat signal.
Yeah, which is awesome.
So, Victor Freeze and Penguin, Bane and Clayface arrive in the city. It is now cold enough that Freeze can get out of his suit. And also he starts maniacally laughing because he's planning to freeze the world now.
Wow.
Because he's suddenly a supervillain.
I mean, which he is at this point. He's actually got the supervillain sort of stuff.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, as he goes to turn on Penguin, because he knew that Penguin was going to betray him, Clayface and Bane also inject up. So we get two new kaiju, one of whom is gigantic Bane.
Yeah, which is amazing.
It is amazing. Incredibly dumb, but it is amazing. I also love that the mask grows with him.
Yeah, it's perfect. All the clothes, like, you know.
All his equipment grows. Mm-hmm. And Clayface... Because Clayface... Now, they say, oh, the... You can't do that. Or the reason that we could do it to kill a croc is because he's... a stable enough platform, Bane or Clayface, there could be other side effects. Nothing happens with Bane at all.
Yeah.
But Clayface gets lava powers.
Which is amazing.
Yeah, and is actually... Lava Clayface is actually on the front cover of the film.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So, we get... Bane and Croc start fighting each other.
Which is great, because, you know, like, that's all. It's why the villain team ups never really work. At some point, they always turn on each other.
Penguin has the freeze gun that he proceeds to never use.
Look, he's thinking about his mate. He's not really thinking about freezing things.
And. So Robin is given the keys to the Batmobile and told to keep Clayface busy. Batman and Arrow then meet with Kirk Langstrom, and there's an Arrow mecha and a Batman mecha, and as they fly, this is when you get a rip-off of the Pacific Rim theme.
Yeah, yeah.
So Batman arrives and starts fighting Bane and Killer Croc. Green Arrow starts fighting Camo, and Robin fights Clayface. Langstrom then calls Robin, heading over to him in a Bat quad bike, because we need another toy.
There's so many toys. I think this is around when I lost it a bit.
You could have reused the Bat hang glider thing.
Yeah, but there's just so many, and it just keeps coming at you, and you're like, this is so clearly a toy thing. Like, I think the first film was so clearly a toy film. This one starts off like, and it actually had me story-wise, and then it switches to how many toys can we chuck in it, which I appreciate, made me laugh, but I think it lost me on the story a bit.
Yeah. So, we'd also get a... So the main rest of the film is basically Batman fighting Croc and Bane. Green Arrow's mech gets defeated by Camo, including one of his arms and both his legs being melted off. The mecha, not Green Arrow himself.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
Because this is a kid's film. Robin, Flash, and Nightwing work with Kirk Langstrom to make a giant laser cannon.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't work until Mr. Freeze comes and helps them using his device that also makes kaiju.
Weird.
And yeah, so also we get a scene in the middle of all of this where Penguin is back in his tower having fun and making Buzz head of security.
It's so cute.
Oh, I do want to see a Buzz spin-off film.
I mean, I like him. So, you know.
So, one thing I've also forgotten to mention. So, Green Arrow then goes, what buildings do I own? I'll only throw Kemo into those.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, Batman, Bane and Killer Croc are basically destroying the city centre. Arrow actually ends up getting trapped in... Kemo tries to drop the entire building onto Arrow. Mr. Freeze fixes the ray, but whilst happening, he gets exposed to a ton of heat, and he ends up passing out just after he knocks out Clayface. Batman ends up fighting Bane. Hello, you still there?
Yep.
Batman ends up fighting Bane, and we again get, well, this thing must have a back, because Bane's obsessed with breaking Batman's back.
Yeah, because you have to get that nod into the joke. Such a great panel.
It's never been referenced before. I don't know what you're talking about.
I hate it. I actually was looking at it the other day. A friend of mine is doing something with these big famous panels, and I had another look at it. It's not even good.
It's very 90s.
I don't like. I mean, I don't mind him doing it. I just didn't. I don't like the art on it very much.
Mhm. It's amazing how much. It's probably the two things that have been referenced most in comic books by now, other than maybe Uncle Ben.
Maybe.
Is Bane breaking Batman's back and the death of Superman.
Yeah, probably.
I suppose it's all people... That would have been people growing up in the 90s would mm-hmm. have read that. So yeah. It makes sense, because those are the people who are now making films.
Yeah, I guess the other thing would be like Killing Joke or Red Hood stuff. There's a lot of Red Hood references.
There's a lot, yeah.
Yeah, of like sort of Death of the Family, that kind of...
So, after defeating Bane and Killer Croc... Batman then arrives to help, well, to save Arrow from Kemo.
Mm-hmm.
Batman's arm is damaged, so he rips it off, causes it to blow up, hits Kemo with it, and then rips off the Arrow mech's arm.
Yeah, it's cool.
So that you have a different version of the mech with a green arm.
Exactly. I mean, it was so blatant. It was like, oh, look, we can have a variant.
Yes.
But I laughed. I mean, it's like, it's sometimes when it's that blatant, you just laugh.
So Arrow then fires... So Batman's mech then cracks open Kemo. Arrow fires exploding arrows into it. And then Batman drains the fluid from Kemo, which seems to kill him.
Yeah.
Because Batman doesn't kill unless it's not alive to begin with.
Yeah, it mostly doesn't kill.
Yes. And Penguin still tries to get away with it, but he then gets stuck in the melting ice and confronted by Mecha Batman.
Mecha Batman.
So that's the end of the film. So we see Freeze is arrested, and he's going to get a trial.
Yeah, yeah.
I see they're not mentioning that anyone else is getting a trial. I mean, this is a police state where they have tanks, so
yeah. But you know, like, but one of them's getting a trial.
Buzz gets
a girlfriend
into a zoo, and he meets a pretty lady penguin.
Buzz gets a girlfriend at the end. Yay. It's a beautiful moment.
Langston gets very upset when he sees what's left of the Arrow mech.
Yeah, well, I'm not surprised.
And Penguin gets put in the cell next to Joker.
Of course.
And at first I thought, oh, the gag's going to be that Joker's going to start singing or what, making...
Oh, please, no more Joker songs. I can't deal with it anymore.
Something like but do something really irritating that Penguin can't stop because there's all... Joker's able to open the wall between their cells and beat him up.
Of course, as you do.
And Robin gets compliments from Batman, and Clayface escapes at the end of the film because we have to have a sting.
Yeah, that isn't just Buzz getting girlfriend.
Yes, come on, give us the Buzz spin-off, guys.
Yeah, Buzz Lightyear, Penguin in space. Well, it'd probably be better than the actual Lightyear film. I shouldn't say that.
Wait a minute, that was... I thought that was a joke. They're actually doing a Buzz Lightyear film.
Yes, but it's not Buzz Lightyear. It's the astronaut that the toy Buzz Lightyear is based on. I mean, it is Buzz Lightyear, but it's not the toy. It's the astronaut, but it's still animated, so it looks like the toy. And it's Chris Evans. It's all going to be very strange. That's this year. I know.
What?
Yeah, it's hilarious. There's a trailer and everything. Like, you can literally...
I thought, because I saw that image going around, I was like, oh, yeah, it's very funny. It's obviously a parody. I didn't realise they were actually... Okay. Okay. Fine. Anyway, so after watching DC Superhero Girls, which was aimed at kids,
mm-hmm.
Batman Unlimited, which was aimed at kids, let's have a change of pace and have a Lego movie.
Yay! Which one?
Justice League Gotham City Breakout.
Oh my god, it's another massive title that I'll have to tell you to remind me about.
Yes. I also think this is... I'm just going to have a quick look. This is 78 minutes long.
Oh, perfect. I love... You know me. Love a short film.
And Joker and Harley Quinn are on the front cover, which is...
Don't love those as much.
Reassuring.
Yeah. Oh, hey.
Though it is the first film that they acknowledge both Bob Kane and Bill Finger.
Oh, I remember you mentioning that before. Yeah, that's... Yes. That is cool.
After that, the next film we've got is the first Adam West Batman animated film.
Interesting.
Which I'm very interested to see.
Mm.
The next film after that is Justice League Dark.
Oh, I'm looking forward to seeing that.
I'm really looking forward to seeing that as well. Mm-hmm. I've deliberately not watched it because of the podcast, but
yeah same.
I'm really looking forward to that. I have seen the next film, which is the Lego Batman movie.
Thank you. I'm glad you have. I would be very upset if you hadn't.
Normally I like to kind of point out, oh, I like this little reference, I like this. If I did that for that film, the podcast would be 14 hours long. And because I always like to do the last of the next five films we've got coming up,
mm-hmm.
is Teen Titans: The Judas Contract.
Oh, I've read that at the comic.
Yes, it's based on the Judas Contract story.
Mm-hmm. Confusing, a little bit.
Yes, but it's the return of the DC AMU Teen Titans that we saw in Teen Titans vs. Justice League.
Interesting, yeah. Cool. So it'd be a bit more Teen Titans for me.
Yep. So that's the next five films that are coming up. Have you appeared in any other podcasts recently? I remember you mentioning you appeared on the
The Moonlight one. Yeah, Into the Night, Moonlight podcast. I just recently did. We've had a new issue of the comic. So I did that. And obviously we're sort of ramping up coverage for the TV show.
Yeah,
so
there was a trailer.
I would discuss that on the same episode because we'd recorded one and then it died. So we sort of combined them all into one. And then on Immortal Iron Fist, Sons of the Dragon, we've been quite short of hosts recently. So me and Connor have been reading through the Iron Fist stories in Deadly Hands of Kung Fu. So that's like really old and black and white comics. And they're really good. And I'd never actually read them before, like when I was doing my Iron Fist reading. So, so some good podcasts, I think. And this, obviously.
Meanwhile, I am back with the Rise of the Robots podcast. We're still going. Unfortunately, we're at the point where the amount of episodes we have to go isn't going down for the next 14 weeks because there's a new series of BattleBots. So we've got... By the time this comes out, we'll have started coverage of Robot Wars Extreme, which is effectively an attempt by it's the closest that you'll get to a wrestling show on the BBC.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Yeah, it's not like a championship. It is like a 17-week wrestling program, except with robots instead of men in Lycra.
Ah, interesting. That's quite different.
There's even a belt.
Oh my lord.
There's a belt, there's tag team matches, there's an episode that is an armed forces special.
They need some mecha.
Oh, that's the next step of...
I'm sure of it. Yeah.
There is actually a show we do that's basically a televised version of Real Steel. That is something
wow,
that we have
I love
coming
Real
up.
Steel as well.
So that's what's coming up. If you have anything that you want to say about any of the films we've got coming up or any feedback on this podcast, please feel free to email us at dcaupodcast@yahoo.com.
Nice.
You can also follow us at Twitter at dcaupodcast.
Yeah, just talk to us.
Also, we utterly recommend that you check out The Collective, who are a collection of other comic book and comic book media based podcasts.
They really span like from Howard the Duck through to Superman in terms of, you know, characters
with
small appearances to large.
Absolutely. So we'll be back in a couple of weeks' time because we've got another toy commercial to watch.
Can't wait.
Thank you for listening to the DCAU podcast. You can follow us on social media. We're at DCAU Podcast on Twitter. Or you can email in to us with either feedback on our show or on the movies we're about to watch at dcaupodcast@yahoo.com. The DCAU Podcast is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-Alike 4.0 International License. Thank you for listening.